Nacho Radio Podcast.
Dave and Darren.
Come on here.
Hi, I'm Dave Heller, the owner of the Quad Cities River Bandits, and I want to invite you to Modern Woodman Park, which was voted by USA Today the best minor league ballpark in all America. Our ballpark is a real Quad Cities treasure. 87 years old and scenically located on the beautiful Mississippi River, and at night, with our Ferris wheel all lit up and the Centennial Bridge lit up, it's a picturesque setting right here in the Quad Cities that any Quad Citizen would be proud of. Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast isn't technically a Quad Cities treasure, and it's really not illuminating in any way, but the company P.O. Box is in the Quad Cities, and that's a fact. I hope you guys enjoy today's podcast.
P.O. Box 16, if you want to write us an old-fashioned letter. 52722 Bedverify, Iowa. That's the post office box for Nacho Radio. This is Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. Thanks so much for tuning in.
What was the P.O. Box again?
Is it 16?
16.
Yeah.
Just give us something nice and simple.
Yeah, exactly. It's a beautiful thing about having a P.O. Box in Bettendorf. Yeah, we're number 16. It's like that joke about Alexander Graham Bell's phone number being 1. There are 15 businesses that got to Bettendorf before we did. there it is.
Well, or 15 that have lasted, at least.
Well, that's a good call. That's a good call.
Yeah, 16's available. They bailed.
They had to take off. You can send us an old-fashioned snail mail, if that's the kind of thing that you're into.
Is
that,
I'm going to take my shoes off.
Do people still call it snail mail? That seems like kind of a dated reference. We got a couple of texts on the text line. People did not care for the last podcast we did.
Oh, our review of Indecent Proposal.
There are some folks with some real feelings about the last show that we did.
In that they are trying to support that movie or just didn't care for the fact that we spent the entire podcast on it.
Here's one from the 563. This is from Craig. Your review, in quotes, your review of Indecent Proposal was both entertaining and infuriating at the same time. It's actually a pretty good movie. But your review...
Okay, so they're defending the movie.
Your review was based on a poor, oversimplified synopsis. And to think it all started with you commenting on how handsome Robert Redford was. 20 minutes later. Well, anyway, thanks for another entertaining podcast. You guys helped me through my work day.
Well, that's not that severe a criticism.
How about this? From the 563.
You want severe? How about this?
I'm doing them in the order of severity. 563 chimes in with this. Cannot, all capital letters here, cannot believe you spent 20 minutes discussing the movie Indecent Proposal, that you had no idea what the movie was about. What was the point of that? A time killer? Don't do that again. It's just painful. Sports talk is more interesting than HS.
Now, here's the thing. You guys are all using the term 20 minutes because we said it was 20 minutes.
I said it was 20
minutes. We said it was 20 minutes.
I don't think it really was 20 minutes. It was probably pretty close to that, though, huh?
I think it was at least 20 minutes.
Well, look, I regret nothing. I wouldn't think of that.
Hey, become a patron, you can listen to any of them. That's the only one we spend that much time on, Indecent Proposal.
Well, here's another thing I would just throw out there, because I do this sometimes with podcasts, and I listen to quite a few podcasts. Every once in a while, I listen to a podcast, and I feel like they're talking about something I don't care about. Mm. I hit the fast-forward button, geniuses. Mm. You don't like this segment? Hit the fast-forward button.
No, listen.
You're in control.
Listen to it all.
I didn't think it was that bad. I was entertained. People have some real feelings about that show.
So just two comments? Mm-hmm. That's not bad.
No.
That's not bad.
No, but and they came one right after another. It was the point where...
Are you saying that they're was using an alias?
No, it was like within a couple of minutes of each other, I'm thinking, oh boy, here comes the deluge of people who hated our last show.
Here it comes.
Oh boy. Is this real? Big Ten football in the news this morning. One, you got your Urban Meyer, who's probably quite fired. I don't know if you've been following
this. Oh, I haven't heard this. What has he pulled? Has he actually pooped at a party?
No, where is he? He covered up the fact that one of his coaches was smacking his wife around. And they've got him dead to rights on this. Urban Meyer.
Boy, what's going on?
From everything I've been reading right now, and they do have bigger problems than Urban Meyer right now. Yeah, that this wrestling coach may have molested thousands of people, not just hundreds, thousands of people in his capacities there at Ohio State. And then you got Urban Meyer covering up for a wife beater, and when he was asked questions about it, lied about it. And then this woman who got smacked around is showing text messages from Urban Meyer's wife saying, oh, it's terrible he's doing that to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Urban Meyer's in a world of hurt.
And then you've also got Jim Harbaugh, who's very concerned with his quarterbacks eating nervous chicken.
He does not want his quarterbacks eating chicken.
Because you might turn into a chicken, and chickens are nervous birds.
A couple of things that Jim Harbaugh has done and since he's taken over the football program there at Michigan, all right? He delivered a calf. He invited himself to a sleepover at a recruit's house. He tucked an Allen Iverson jersey into a pair of his iconic khakis. He climbed a tree to prove something to a potential player.
Where did he deliver the calf at practice?
All right, guys, we're going to learn some plays. But before we do that, I'm going to help deliver this calf.
I'm going to pull this baby cow out of that other cow.
Yeah, this was last summer. He'd gone on a 5-mile run, washed his car, and then he delivered a baby calf. The head coach of the Michigan Wolverines team spent the morning pulling a cow out of another cow at Fair Oak Farms in Indiana. This was last summer. And then he shared pictures of it on Twitter to show.
How do you wash your car when you're on a 5-mile run?
It gets a lot done during his day, is what I think the point
of the article is. Was the car following him to, like, the car wash? Is that what happened?
And then it looks like when he got done delivering the calf, he went and did a celebrity golf event. So this guy gets a lot done. He refuses to eat chicken. According to an ex-Wolverine player who was talking to the people at Bleacher Report, Shea Patterson, Michigan quarterback Shea Patterson, spoke to ex-Wolverine Wilton Speet about his experience playing under Coach Harbaugh. Quote, early in his Michigan tenure, Harbaugh pulled Speed aside and told him not to eat chicken, a protein that is considered fairly safe by nutritionists. When Speed asked why, Harbaugh said, because it's a nervous bird. He thinks some kind of sickness injected its way into the human population when people began eating white meats instead of beef and pork. And he believes it 100%.
Of course he does.
Those chickens are nervous, so don't eat them or you'll get nervous too. Coach Harbaugh has spoken.
You'll be nervous in the pocket, and I can't have that.
Can't have you running around like a chicken with its head cut off back there. And that happens if you eat the chicken. You will become as the chicken is, and I can't.
But aren't chickens also very elusive? I mean, Rocky was always chasing one, right?
I think all animals are nervous, really.
They should
be. If they're grown up on a farm, if they're paying attention.
Or if they're just in nature. Everyone's out to get you.
Right? Yeah, show me an animal that's not nervous. Let me ask you this. You ever been in a cage with a wolverine, an actual wolverine?
Yes, I have.
You know how nervous they can be.
You should see how nervous I was.
Well, I mean, that's it.
That wolverine was going to eat my fingers.
What does your uncle tell you when you go out into the woods? Don't be scared. The animals can smell your fear.
Uh-huh.
If a chicken knows you're nervous, then it's game over. Don't fear the rooster is what I say.
It's just a world of anxiety. That's where we live.
So he believes, Coach Harbaugh believes, that at some point in our evolution as a species, we started eating chickens, and that's injected us with a sickness that makes us nervous. Mm-hmm. That's where anxiety comes from.
I can eat chicken.
Chickens.
I can eat chicken and become quite sleepy.
I've seen it happen.
I know you have.
I know firsthand, everyone. What he's saying is not BS or HS.
It has the exact opposite effect on me. If you include mashed potatoes and gravy as well.
Well, maybe it's the gravy, though. Gravy's a very nervous liquid. Corey Feldman filing police reports over online death threats. This guy won't give up on the notion that people want him dead.
Well, we do, though.
Taking legal action against
he has every right to think this way.
Corey Feldman is taking legal action. I like how you say we.
Well, collectively, yes, the rest of us. Everyone who's not Corey Feldman wants him dead. He's the only one who wants to stay alive.
Corey Feldman believes an online group named the Wolf Pack is getting revenge on him for trying to expose the alleged sexual assaults going on in the entertainment industry.
Is this because he just saw The Hangover?
They're planting fake news and issuing death threats to him online. He says in paperwork that he filed with the Los Angeles Police Department. Specifically, he believes the Wolf Pack is targeting him for trying to shine light on the sexual abuse that the late Corey Haim may have suffered. He further alleges that Corey Haim's mother, Judy, might be involved with the Wolf Pack. Judy is a member of the Wolf Pack?
You're dragging the other Corey's mom into this, huh?
Feldman claims the threats involve violence, and one even went so far as to hope that Feldman would get gang raped in prison. Feldman is 47 years old, and he told this all to the police there in Los Angeles.
It sounds like that might be a little case of projecting.
The Goonies actor has filed restraining orders against the people of the Wolf Pack. Let me see. His attorney,
the North Carolina State Wolf Pack,
Perry Wander, says in a statement, quote,
whose name is Perry Wander?
Perry Wander is Corey Feldman's attorney.
Of course it is.
I'm Perry Wander.
Hello, I'm Perry Wander.
Representing Mr. Corey Feldman in his action, legal action against the Wolf Pack.
Don't become disturbed.
Corey Feldman's mother et al.
From time to time, I do go missing. Where's Perry at?
Out in Indiana. Just wandering.
What's he doing out there?
No, you wander Indiana. That's what he does. Corey Feldman, under the advice of the Los Angeles Police Department Threat Management Unit, filed a request with the Los Angeles Superior Court for a restraining order for civil harassment against a group of individuals that have been stalking and threatening him by planting fake news and posting threatening messages to him on social media.
Are these just people that want him to give up that band?
I don't. Here's what I know. I haven't read any fake news about Corey Feldman. The only fake news I've read about Corey Feldman and the Wolf Pack is Corey Feldman saying that he's being attacked by the Wolf Pack. Let's see. Perry Wander goes on to say, quote, Mr. Feldman has a genuine fear of credible violence against him, which necessitated the criminal complaint and launched the criminal investigation and LAPD recommendation to seek a restraining order. Evidence uncovered during the investigation has uncovered a broad-based conspiracy to discredit Mr. Feldman in his efforts to champion victims of sexual abuse.
Sounds to me like Mr. Corey Feldman's been eating a lot of chicken.
What if it's true? What if there really is?
It's possible.
What if there really is?
It is possible that it's true.
But remember when he there was the attempt on his life where he got stabbed by a safety pin.
Well, he said he was stabbed
because they had distracted his
security guard. All we could really see is that someone, including Mr. Corey Feldman himself, might have like written with a pen on him. There was like one small little dot, right?
I like how the lawyer makes it sound like the police insisted he file this report. Yes. Rather than just saying, well, if you want to, you can come down and fill out our paperwork.
Are you insisting?
Yes, Corey, we're insisting.
I guess we're insisting. Come on down. We know you've got nothing to do today.
You lunatic. Yeah, it's not like you're busy filming any movies. Corey, stop. I've got five things here. You want to hear
the top five things? Dave and Darren Top 5 Things podcast is brought to you by Mary's Diamonds and Jewelry. They have a brand new home there at 2115 East 12th Street. That's in the village of East Davenport, so check them out. And they have some new hours. They're open Tuesday through Friday from 10 a.m. till 5:30. And then on Saturday, you can stop by as well from 10 till 3. They offer free cleanings and inspections. Stop in and experience their impeccable customer service. Visit Mary, Terry, and Ellen today. Their passion for jewelry and gems will be present each time that they help you find the perfect piece for you. Come in and see and feel the difference. They offer interest-free financing. Mm. Their bridal sale is going on right now, so come in and check out their engagement ring starting at just $350. Check them out at marysdiamondsandjewelry.com and like them on Facebook. Again, if you're there, make sure you mention Nacho Radio, and you'll receive, with a purchase, a free gem and jewelry cleaner. The new location, again, is 2115 East 12th Street in the village of East Davenport. The podcast originating from the Capriotti Sandwich Shop Studio on 53rd Street in Davenport, home of the Quad City's best cheesesteak, but so much more. How about their Slobby Joe? Slow-roasted roast beef, provolone cheese, Russian dressing, coleslaw, and mayo. When you get it today, make sure you turn it into a combo with a chip and a medium drink. And
Say hi. Hello. Like them on Facebook as well. And mention Nacho Radio. You'll get a medium favorite sub, and they'll only charge you for a small one.
I got a text here on the text line. Cannot believe you just spent 8 minutes talking about Corey Feldman and the Wolfpack. This is HS.
And that,
I like sports talk.
And that came from Corey Feldman.
Number one. Number one. It's just signed Seafeld. I don't know. Could be him. Could be. Number one on the top.
I signed my name Seafeld because that's all the time I have before I have to get back to being paranoid. I can't afford any more time than that. I gotta keep my head on a swivel.
You know, the fact that Corey Feldman's mom may be part of the Wolfpack, I think that's the big story there. That's the lead. So this Greg Mantufel is in the news. 48 years old house painter. He lives in West Bend, Wisconsin, over by there, by West Bend over there. June 27th, he started feeling sick. And they thought, okay, he's got the flu.
Allergic to paint, all kinds of paints.
No, that's somebody else.
All forms, including paint. Dried paint.
Paint in all of its forms. I can't come to work. I'm allergic to paint in all of its forms. So this Greg guy, he's a painter over by there in West Bend, Wisconsin, over by there. And criminy, he starts feeling sick. And they thought he had the flu, yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. Symptoms got worse. And his wife ends up taking him to the emergency room. And they look at him at the emergency room, and his body is covered in bruises. It looks like somebody took a baseball bat used him as a pinata. Just bruises all over.
What's with the bruises?
Right. Blood tests are conducted, and they realize that he's going into septic shock from something called Capnocatafanga canamorsis bacteria. So here's the thing. That's a bacteria that is found in the mouths of nearly 75% of dogs and 57% of cats. Mm-hmm. Now, they don't get sick from it, but in humans, this bacteria can cause a blood infection or sepsis, which can lead to organ failure and even death. This guy got licked by a dog and ended up having his legs amputated, and he lost both of his hands, and they have to reconstruct his nose.
What?
Yeah. A dog licked him.
I'm getting licked by dogs all the time.
Well, you might want to knock that off.
Should I stop kissing chickens, too?
Well, you know how we've talked about that.
It is beak week.
3/4 of dogs and 75% of cats have this bacteria in their saliva.
I got licked by a dog today.
Don't tell me that. I'm going to have to ask you to leave my home.
I'm not going to lick you.
Well, I hope not. He lost his hands, his nose has to be reconstructed, and they took both of his legs. Oof. He told the doctors, do what you have to do to keep me alive.
I don't know.
They don't know which
dog. I used to always say that.
What do you mean?
That was my big thing.
Do what you got to do to keep me alive?
Put as much work, put as many man hours as you need to do. Throw as many benefits if you have to. Keep me alive and keep me comfortable.
So his favorite thing to do is cruise on his Harley, and he works as a house painter. You're done doing those things.
You can still ride on a Harley.
Not with no feet, dude.
Well, you can ride.
You can't really. He doesn't have hands.
Can't drive. But you can still be, like, attached to.
Like you're a backpack? Lost everything because a dog licked me, but I guess this is cool. No thanks. They
I've never
sell
heard
them.
Of this.
They got. That's why.
I mean, people have been licking dogs. I mean, not, or dogs have been licking people.
Hey now.
Since the beginning of time. Before the beginning of time, dogs have been licking.
That's
people.
What started the Big Bang. God licked a dog.
Uh huh. And he liked it.
Amputated both of his legs at the knees, lost both of his hands and his nose.
I licked a dog and I liked it.
They don't know which dog infected her husband. They counted 8 dogs that he'd been around at the time he fell sick.
I would imagine that.
He has one dog, and then there's other dogs that he's around because he's a house painter.
I would imagine that God dances in front of the mirror by himself, don't you think? I licked a dog and I liked it.
Singing parodies of Katy Perry hits? Sure.
He's everywhere.
They say more than 99% of people who have dogs will never have this issue.
Which percentage?
99%.
I like those odds.
Yeah, you're in good company. But no, your dog cannot lick me now. And I'm not interested in the cat licking me. I don't want anyone licking me. No thanks. Pass. A dog licks you and they take your hands and your legs and your nose?
I would prefer to keep those.
See what I'm saying?
For as long as I need them.
Mm-hmm. Number two. I mean, I think all five of those things come in mighty handy. Just as someone who, you know.
I mean, if you want to take my hands when I don't need them anymore, I guess that's okay.
Why would you not need hands anymore?
When I'm gone.
Yeah, right.
Like if you need to do a hand transplant.
Sure, if somebody can use these hands after I'm gone, go nuts.
And these eyes?
Help yourself. Help yourself to that as well. Sure. Speaking of these eyes, that segues beautifully into our next thrilling story here. In Number two. A teenager in Rochester, Minnesota, got into a fight with someone in his family, and they... family's here. Hey, guys.
Speaking of the wolf pack.
Hey. Hey, guys. So anyway, this teenager got upset with...
Oh, and they can't see you put the loser sign over your dad's head.
Knock it off.
They can't see that.
But, all right, high five each other.
Right. We're teaming up on you.
Remember, all right.
You better sleep with one eye open, Dad.
All right, I'll sleep with one eye open.
Yeah.
All right, I'll sleep with one eye open. Do you see how it is for me?
No, this
is my life.
It's getting to crunch time.
You better sleep with one eye open. This is my life. Remember when we did the parade when he was like four?
Mm-hmm.
And he just kept screaming to everybody, my father's a bum. You couldn't drive the car, you were laughing so hard.
Yeah.
My dad is a bum, everybody. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
You had a job at the time, too.
Oh, God, I did, too. So anyway, back to Rochester. I can tell this story now. They got into some sort of family dispute. This 18-year-old was not happy with the 74-year-old man in Rochester, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So he took both of his eyeballs out of his head. Ahad Aziz, an 18-year-old relative of the victim, ripped out his eyes with his bare hands.
Good Lord, that's gruesome.
You know it is.
That is a gruesome struggle there.
Charged with first-degree assault.
That's it?
Yeah, that's what you get. It's an unusual charge because it requires the victim to have suffered permanent disability.
It's at least first-degree assault twice.
Mm-hmm. You can't replace. This is the thing. Like, if you and I were getting into a fight and you were to, like,
take off
a hand, I could get a plastic hand. I could 3D print myself a hand.
Oh, you could?
Well.
With what, the other hand?
You know, I'd have people help me out, I imagine. I wouldn't do it myself. You lose your eyes, there's no replacement, they say.
You can replace them, but you can't see out of them.
Well, that's true, yeah. You just got the Sandy Duncan glass eye there, yeah? Aziz was nonverbal and combative when police arrived at the scene.
And what was the rub again?
They were just having an argument.
An argument.
I don't know what the argument was about.
Well, that's gruesome.
Yeah, you know, we're watching here at the house. Sandy Duncan and Moline's Ken Berry in a little film called The Cat from Outer Space. Do you remember that movie?
I don't know that I do.
It was like a big movie when I was in grade school. This cat comes from outer space. Henry Morgan is a disgruntled army captain, and he wants that cat from outer space so bad. But Ken Berry can understand what he says. So the cat can talk to Ken Berry using his mind, see? And it is something. The cat has, like, this necklace that, like, lights up. Oh, it's something else.
Hmm.
They brought that home from the video store.
I thought
this is going to be wonderful. Well, first of all, we're still going to the video store. Second of all, cat from outer space.
I'll have to look into that.
Oh, it's a real trip down memory lane.
The Dave and Darren Top 5 Things podcast. It is brought to you by the East Moline Coffee Company. They're located at 3537 Archer Drive in East Moline, just north of United Township High School. Here's an idea. Get your favorite latte and have it iced, served over ice. Any of your hot lattes, your favorites, can be served over ice as well. Try a super tasty protein puck packed full of fruits and nuts. A great way to start the day. Gourmet hot, iced, and frozen beverages, as well as whole bean coffee and loose leaf tea. You can take that home. Biscotti, breakfast cookies, all-natural oatmeal muffins, and more. The East Moline Coffee Company. Join their loyalty rewards and check them out at eastmocoffee.com. The podcast is also brought to you by our fine patrons on Podbean, as well as everyone who shops Amazon.com by using the link at nachoradio.com. The podcast is originating from the Capriati Sandwich Shop Studio. Enjoy one of Capriati's specialty party trays or build your own by choosing a combination of cold subs. And for that extraordinary event, build your own perfect meatball sub with Cap's Meatball Bar. Capriati's signature homemade meatballs are made from scratch daily and simmered in a classic marinara sauce. Every meatball bar comes with sliced provolone, Romano cheese, and baked rolls. And that's where you get it, at Capriati's. They're open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, starting at 10:30, 11 a.m. on Sunday. If you're there for lunch or dinner, please mention Nacho Radio and get a medium sub for the price of a small one.
Three. The movie The Sandlot.
It's the cat from outer space.
The movie The Sandlot is coming back. The original director.
Never saw it.
Neither have I.
I know that a lot of people have.
Well, especially in your line of work, I bet it's very popular. The Sandlot.
I hear people. I just know that it's popular, but then I've also heard it's not that fantastic a movie.
Whenever I get berated for not seeing The Sandlot, it came out in the mid-90s.
Yes, why would I be watching a kid's movie?
I was an adult. Why would I watch a kid's movie about children playing baseball? I think you ought to be locked up if you saw that, frankly. You know what I'm saying? Well, this will be the... the original movie came out in 1993.
Yeah, and other things going on.
I was 21 years old. Hang on a second, everybody. As much fun as it is being 21... I'm going to take some time to go see a children's movie.
No, I was putting it out there. I was trying to make things happen.
That's right. I was chasing skirts and making it happen.
That's what I was trying to do.
Making it happen.
I haven't got time to watch The Sandlot unless we're going to get naked and watch The Sandlot.
Do you see what I'm saying? What are we doing here? It's 1993.
I was in my prime.
David Mickey Evans is returning to co-write the script. It's going to be a prequel, and it will tell the origin story of the Beast, an English Mastiff so big it became a legend in the neighborhood, inhabited by nine boys who play baseball across the dog's backyard. I think the idea of the show, the movie is, and again, this is going to be like our Indecent Proposal episode.
Hold on, we got about 20 minutes to knock this out.
They're playing baseball, and the ball goes over the fence into a big dog, and James Earl Jones has a big dog, and then they got to get the ball out of the yard. I mean, is that the whole movie?
And they're afraid of the dog?
I think that's it.
And then
it.
They find out that the dog and the old man aren't as scary as they thought it was.
Right. And there's like a fatso catcher, and he goes, "You're killing me, Smalls." And everyone laughs at that.
And everyone's got a T-shirt that says that.
Yeah. Although, I don't know if you saw this. This I did like. The kid who says, "You're killing me, Smalls," mm-hmm. is now quite grown up.
Who's Smalls?
I think he's a kid in the movie. I think he's the pitcher. I think the fatso is the catcher. Anyway.
Let's not call kid fatso.
Well, He's a chunky kid in 1993. Again, this is another 90s movie. Came out the same year as Indecent Proposal. I didn't go to the movies that year, okay?
So, what if you... Is there any way that we can morph the two movies?
Make like a mashup? Like Robert Redford will give him $1 million if he can be on the team with him?
I'll give you $1 million to not play baseball.
I'll sleep with that dog for $1 million. Robert Redford, what happened to you? So the point of the movie is that they have to play baseball in a sand lot or somehow. I don't know if there's a big game at the end or whatever. But the kid who's in that movie, the two kids that are in the movie, are walking down the street in New York. There's some 19-year-old
kid. They still
kid.
Hang out together?
I guess they're friends, right? And
that's weird.
Well, I think it's kind of neat, actually. So they're walking down the street in New York City this past weekend. And there's a kid wearing a T-shirt that says, "You're killing me, Smalls."
Because everyone's got a T-shirt that says that.
I've never seen this shirt before in my life. So the kid, the two guys from the movie, including the kid who's on the shirt, ask this 19-year-old kid, "Hey, cool shirt. Can we get your picture taken with it?"
The kid has no idea who these two people are, even though he's wearing a T-shirt with that kid on him saying his famous 25 line.
25 years later.
So, yeah, they're taking a picture. It's like, look at us. And this kid has no idea who we are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's a fun story.
So a prequel, not a sequel.
You
probably can't really do a sequel now.
The Sandlot revolves around a boy named Scotty Smalls who befriends a group of boys who play baseball at the neighborhood Sandlot in the summer of 1962.
Here we go again. For those that didn't care for the last show. Oh, you're not going to care for this.
Scotty loses his stepfather's prize baseball that was signed by Babe Ruth.
They're playing with the Babe Ruth ball?
You got to be kidding me.
Did this guy write the Indecent Proposal?
It sounds
like the same guy.
Oh, and I did some more reading about Indecent Proposal after the show. So it turns out in the book, it's very different from the movie.
Just like Jaws.
Exactly like Jaws. In the book, Woody Harrelson is Jewish and Robert Redford's an Arab.
Oh.
And that adds some sort of geopolitical happenstance to the whole thing.
Huh.
Other than that, I think it's pretty much the same thing.
Otherwise, it's the same movie.
But I want you all to know, I wasn't done reading about Indecent Proposal just because the podcast was over.
Just because,
and if you don't like it,
just because you said we should be done with it doesn't mean I'm done with it.
Right. You people are not in charge of me. That's what I'm saying.
Number four.
I'm the boss of me. Me. Number four, a family out celebrating a milestone birthday. They go out.
I think
out.
The cat from outer space just tried to shoot me with a foam rocket.
Yeah, he better knock that off or he's going to be the cat who's grounded for a week.
In outer space.
In his room. So there's a family out in Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
They go out for a big milestone birthday. They go to get some fish, I guess, at this Asbury Park.
This sounds like you're making it up.
No, this is all real. This is all real. Jim,
you paused before you said fish.
I was trying to remember from reading the story what it was that they had.
Let's say fish.
Cod. It was cod.
That's a fish.
So they're out there and they realize that this woman is eating her cod.
Uh-huh.
She's halfway done. And she cuts around the skin because it wasn't quite cooked to her taste. Mm. And that's when she sees worms crawling around the inside of the fish.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, understandably, the family's upset that they got served
fish
with worm, live squirmy wormies inside of it, right? Mm. This guy posts a picture of video on Facebook of the worm inside the Facebook.
Inside
the fish. Yeah, he posts it on Facebook, basically saying, yeah, we went to this popular dinner in Asbury Park. Greetings from Asbury Park.
Uh-huh.
Here's a worm.
Ugh.
Right? Darkness on the other side of the fish. So they post this video, and this thing went viral, as you can imagine.
Everything
Hundreds
does.
Of thousands of people have now lost their appetites looking at the video of this worm squirming around the outside of the codfish on the plate.
I'm dreading the reviews tomorrow, I can tell you that.
Well, now the restaurant is furious. The restaurant is furious at these people for posting this.
Well?
Saying, look, man, this is how people get a bad name.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But you served me worm fish.
Uh-huh.
The restaurant addressed the issue in a Facebook post saying that this video is a callous and irresponsible reaction of an attorney of law to attempt to destroy our reputation and possible livelihoods due to something that could have happened to anyone, whether cooking at home or in a restaurant. When you screw up my order at a restaurant, one, you don't get to tell me I could have done the same thing if I made it for myself at home. That's why I'm at a restaurant.
You might have screwed it up too.
Yeah, so this guy who took the video is a practicing attorney. But he says, look, I haven't taken any legal action against the restaurant. I posted the video and tagged it to their page. And I don't see how the fact that I'm a lawyer has anything to do with the video. He says, if I'd been a plumber, would they have said I'm a callous plumber? It wasn't met with any ill intent. I definitely think that many people would view it. I just didn't want them to keep serving the cod. Now, what was the remedy? How did the restaurant take care of this? You've got a plate full of worm fish.
Uh-huh.
Let me ask you this.
Would you like more worm fish?
No. No, my reaction is I want none. I want none worm fish. So let's say this is Darren's Bar and Grill, and you serve me a cod that's got worms crawling around inside of it. What would you offer me, the consumer here?
Get the hell out of my restaurant.
The staff was apparently extremely apologetic, saying that this has never happened before. And that's when another patron came up to the table and said, "Hey, I found a worm in my dish as well."
Oh, boy.
The restaurant then, for their trouble, decided to cut the bill down by about a third. How about we give you a 33% discount? That was their remedy.
I'll take it.
Well, the restaurant's not happy. You don't get to be not happy when you serve
probably not.
Worm fish to people. Finally.
Five.
Number five.
Programming note, we'll be back tomorrow with another one.
Yes, right? We will.
Well, this will be our last one. Number five in the top five things.
What'll be our last one?
For the week.
Yes, for tomorrow.
Yes.
Yes, tomorrow.
Yes.
This is the last podcast for today. And then tomorrow's will be the last day for...
It's your last podcast of the day.
Okay.
Mine too. Now I think about it, I think I'm done after this.
What do you got? What do you got, a Tron podcast after this?
I
got
to go to the fair after this. Enjoy. I'll give you a full update tomorrow.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. I haven't been in 20 years, and from what everybody tells me, nothing has changed. So I'm looking forward.
No, the children of the corn are still there.
One in five children, according to a new poll. These are kids between the ages of 6 and 12, okay?
Okay, and they're polling children.
Yes, they're doing research of children. They asked 1,000 children between
kids
the ages...
Kids say the darndest things.
They asked 1,000 children between the ages of 6 and 12.
Yes.
6 and 12 is not dumb little kids who shouldn't know anything,
they're not
right?
Toddlers.
No. A 6-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 12-year-old,
yes.
They should have some understanding of the world, right?
Some.
One in five children don't know where apples come from. They don't know that apples grow on trees.
One in five.
Also, 8 in 10 kids think bananas grow on trees rather than on plants. I'm not as mad about that one. I could see a banana tree being a thing you'd think was real.
There's not a banana tree?
I guess not. I guess they grow on plants, not trees.
I don't think so. I'm going to look that up.
Children also don't know how grapes and berries are grown. But one in five children don't know that apples come from trees. Yeah, I for some reason in my head, bananas come from the same kind of tree, like a coconut.
Like a coconut tree.
Like a coconut tree. Maybe a little bit smaller than a coconut, but no. One in five kids don't know that apples grow on trees. And those are your top five things. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow with another one. My father-in-law is here. Is going to try and help me get this stupid basketball hoop figured out once and for all.
What's been the sticking point?
There's two parts of the post, and they don't go together. Yeah. And then I go online to look for answers, and everything online says this. Oh, yeah, no, you
isn't
can't get that
together.
Isn't
that a coconut tree? Or isn't that a banana tree?
Yeah, but it's more of a bush, really. It's a banana bush, really.
It's a big bush.
Yeah, but it doesn't grow on the same kind of tree like an apple.
It's a banana tree. Grown in home gardens is the banana tree.
Is it really a tree?
Well, yeah, it's a tree.
Well, then these kids aren't as stupid as I think they are. My faith in children is restored.
They're saying banana tree plant.
Yeah, I think we call it a tree, but it's not a true tree. Like, a tree has to have bark.
Does it?
I think that's one of the rules, right? In order to be a tree, you got to have bark.
Do you?
I don't know. What am I?
I don't know.
What am I, an arborist?
You are not an arborist.
I don't have any advanced degrees in any of the science.
You might be an arsonist, but you're no arborist. I didn't burn it.
I didn't burn it.
The Dave and Darren Top 5 Things podcast has originated from the Capriati Sandwich Shop Studio on 53rd Street in Davenport and 4640 First Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Taste the Capriati's difference. Only the very best and freshest ingredients guaranteed. Oven roasted in the shop daily. Capriati's slow roasted homemade turkey and roast beef are hand pulled daily.
Nice.
Enjoy their delicious fresh cut meats and cheeses. They're open 7 days a week. Like them on Facebook. And when you're there for lunch or dinner, mention Nacho Radio and get a medium sub for the price of a small one.
Everything goes according to my plan this afternoon. You and I are going to be playing horse in a driveway for the next episode.
Oh, okay. I'll jam.
You know what? Ruffles!
Do you have a trampoline?
No. We've gone to the emergency room quite enough in the last 9 years.
I was just
years.
Thinking if you finally get the basketball hoop up.
Mm-hmm. Bring back the Coors Light Daredevils?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do it for sure.
You'll have to get a hold of those guys and bring them back.
Oh, by the way, as of yesterday, a federal law went into effect. Mm. You cannot, under any circumstances, smoke in public housing anywhere in the United States.
Raji!
You have to go 25 feet away from all public housing.
Raji!
if you want to smoke cigarettes.
I tell you what, these people are hurting.
Raji.
And by these people, I mean me.
Raji.
I'm hurting.
That went into effect yesterday.
Well, you know, with the weather being as pleasant as it is, mm-hmm. that's probably not a problem right this second.
Mm, 25 feet away from the building.
But
you know he's got it marked off in chalk, too.
He'll probably get someone to dig him a tunnel.
Oh, like in the 70s. Uh-huh. All right. Until we get a chance to do it for you again next time, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport. Yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out. Come on. And it just don't stop. East Moline. Yeah, they keeping it hot.
Hey, stick a fork in me. I am done.